This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Charlotte Restaurant Week just ended. It's a time when restaurants try to lure you in with special deals. It's also a great way to find new places and see what they have to offer. Then again, so is this hour, because we've invited Charlotte's most read food and restaurant critics to join us, and they've been busy sampling the wares of the city's eateries. That's hard to say. Formulating opinions on what's good or not so good and following the dining out trends, we have seated them around our foodless table to dish on dining. So, let's get to it. Helen Schwab is the restaurant critic for the Charlotte Observer. Welcome back.
Michael.
I always feel like I've been bad when she's here, you know? Tricia Childress is the restaurant critic for Creative Loafing Charlotte and an associate professor at Johnson & Wales University. Good to see you again.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Heidi Bellotto is the restaurant, food, and wine writer for Charlotte Living Magazine and Charlotte Living Online. She's also the food writer for Charlotte Parent Magazine. What do you write about in that magazine? The baby
Charlotte
food?
Parent? No, I write family-friendly recipes okay. that you can make with your children.
I was just kidding.
I don't talk much about restaurants there.
So aside from the broad question, had any good food lately, let's talk about Restaurant Week. Did anybody know how it went? Because I know you all have connections with chefs. Is it a good thing for them? Did it go well this year?
I've heard it went really well. I want to jump right into Plate Share, which was the coolest thing to me about a dawning of a new app for Charlotte Restaurant Week. This is plateshare.org, and it was created by a woman in Charlotte. That the idea is you round your restaurant bill up, and you donate that money on the rounding up to hunger relief. And so she will end up, tragically, the Android app came up, but the iPhone app wasn't and still isn't resolved in time, but she will donate about $1,000 to Second Harvest. And this was the debut. Restaurant Week was the debut.
So will that be running beyond Restaurant Week?
That'll yes. I mean, the hope is she's got other cities that are interested in doing it. I think it's just a brilliant idea.
It's a great idea.
You know, not everybody can think to give to hunger relief
so
on a daily basis. So what she hopes for is to have point-of-sale mechanisms as well that let you do that. Right now, it's just a mobile, on Android, it's a mobile app, and you round up to the next dollar or the next five, you can designate what, and it's a plate share, and it sends you a receipt, and then it will donate to, and you've got to designate, and she's working through how that will work. This time it's
my
Second
head
Harvest.
Is going to explode, Helen.
Okay, imagine this, Mike. You have a $5 bill.
Yes,
your hot dog from the hot dog guy
is $4.
I understand
the rounding up part,
okay.
But how do you do it? How do you transfer the money?
Well, and that's still being worked out because it's a designated amount, and when she gets it, it's very different if it's point of sale versus if it's just on your phone. It's just telling you. But so the mechanics are still being worked out, but I really encourage people to check it out because you can like it on Facebook, you can go to the website. It's just such a great idea.
Okay.
And really generous.
So Restaurant Week, they have these I just want to get an answer to my
cut
first
right
question.
To the chip.
Well, you kind of did
111
the
restaurants, more restaurants than ever before.
Okay.
And Bruce Hensley says it went really well.
Yeah. They don't know any figures. It just ended.
Yeah.
So they don't
on
have
Sunday.
Any figures.
Did they make money? Did they lose money?
They make money because of volume? Because of volume and because, you know, we have these chefs plan these $30 menus, which are excellent menus and really representative of what they do every day.
Sometimes.
But
and some people
most
just
of
let,
the time, I think,
some people
now.
Just allow you to.
And you can pick what you want. And then but they plan them around that budget. So vendors work with them. I mean, I know a lot of chefs who work with a lot of local and North Carolina vendors who those vendors just worked with them to give them product that would fit into that budget or sell them at a better price so they could provide typical what they serve, you know, product typical to what they serve in a regular day. So, yeah, I think they make money. And that's evidenced by the fact that lots of restaurants continue it on until the end of August.
Right.
And so you'll start seeing on Facebook and on people's websites, you know, still offering the Restaurant Week deal. Mm-hmm. Well, restaurants wouldn't do that if it didn't work.
And it occurs
really
it occurs during the slow time of the year, too.
It gets
it was
people
July,
leaning.
A lot of people are on vacation and at the
because,
beach
you know,
and the mountains.
Because between that and the coupons that you get in these
Groupons.
Get in the newspaper, I mean, are they making money when they're Grouponing and couponing?
I don't think
that's
Groupon
really
and
hard.
Living Social and all that is anywhere near the same as what they do at Restaurant Week.
Okay.
It's definitely not physically the same because Groupon and Living Social, I'm not sure about Living Social. Groupon, I believe, believe it's half off, but then you only get half of what people were actually paying you, and Groupon gets the rest. Mm-hmm. That's a hard
one. It's not a
money
maker. Yeah, I don't think it's a money maker, but I think it's a way to get people in. But not – Restaurant Week's a different deal. And I think that Bruce and Jill Hensley have worked really hard to make it be an opportunity for restaurants not only to get a lot of people in their space in a slow time – but to make money, to get creative with these menus and to make money.
So we've talked about going to dinner, and now we're seated around our foodless table, and the waiter has arrived, and the first thing you have to order is a cocktail, because evidently we are becoming a cocktail town.
Absolutely.
Trisha,
we are.
Not a classic cocktail.
What's going on here? The ABC boutique list, which I never heard of before,
right.
Has
well,
been
you know,
changed.
North Carolina has this very strange relationship with alcohol. We've made alcohol for a really long time. Before Prohibition, we had over 500 distilleries here, and that doesn't include the moonshine stills.
Junior Johnson,
and,
baby.
But recently, the laws have changed, so now we're getting to have not only these great breweries that are coming, and we have these great distilleries, local distilleries. So part of it's a twofold thing. One, the ABC had to allow all of these back notes that you need for great cocktails, all of the Italian aperitifs and
except they don't allow all of them. So, they are allowing some of them.
Well, it's,
you have to buy from the state. If you're a retail establishment, you buy your alcohol from
or
the state.
Us. You don't buy. Any consumer has to buy from the state.
Right, right. Everybody buys alcohol from the state. Right. So you can't get anything that the state doesn't approve. So that's what bartenders are frustrated by, because there are things they'd like to have, but you can't have them unless the state has them.
Well,
the boutique list widens the range.
I have two words for you. Frugal McDougal.
And for people
at a restaurant,
a restaurant cannot go to South Carolina.
You
have to buy from the state. Okay. And so in order to make a lot of the cocktails, one of the most popular cocktails right now in the United States is the Pisco Sour. And it was going to be really hard to make here in Charlotte without Pisco.
You know. What is Pisco?
Pisco is a liqueur.
It's a Peruvian or a Chilean grape brandy. And it's essential. It's like
it's
incredibly
good.
Popular throughout the United States. A lot of the best of lists all have, you know, which place mm-hmm. makes the best Pisco Sour. So we now have this boutique list that you can – before you had to place your order. If you were a bar or a restaurant, you had to place your order, wait for the state to get it into the warehouse, get them to deliver it from Raleigh to Charlotte. I mean, it could take forever. And if you wanted to have a bottle of an aperitif, you only need like a drop. Of here and here, so you know.
You also had to buy a certain amount of
it. You had to buy a case,
which makes a big difference.
You had to buy 12 bottles, or a case, or 6 bottles.
This is what happens when you have an alcohol authority as opposed to the city owning.
Listen, this is what happens when you have marshmallow flavored vodka, okay, and Cheerio flavored vodka.
But you know, now it's opening up, and what's really great about it is because we have these new distilleries here too. Because I think at my last count, we have 17 distilleries, and these people are making in like here in Belmont. I just went to to Muddy River.
Muddy River Rum. They're making rum
Carolina
in
rum.
Belmont.
They're making rum in Belmont. These are two people from here in Charlotte, and they're making it over across the river. And they're expanding. They had a 500-square-foot space, and they're moving into their 6,000-square-foot space. And it's really interesting what they're doing. And so we have this growing. And what's going to happen is because we have these local distilleries that we're going to be able to affect change with the ABC, just as the wine people did.
Now, we had a bartender or two in here a couple of months ago, and they talked about cocktails, making cocktails. And it reminded me not unlike the conversations we had years ago when coffee shops were coming in and we mm-hmm. had these barista competitions. It's become a competitive thing mm-hmm. for bartenders to be known for a cocktail mm-hmm. or two that
it's
they make.
It's always been,
no one
just
else
not
does.
Here.
Okay.
It's always been like
so
that.
So how are we rising through the ranks of bartenders?
Well, we got a long way to go. We're still doing fruity sweet drinks.
Well,
I mean,
but,
for the most part. So but, we don't have a classic. Haunt is going to theoretically be our first classic cocktail bar.
Haunt.
H-A-U-N-T, which is coming, we think.
Okay.
Classic cocktails, which these are the hardcore people that make classic stuff that is not sweetened up or tarted up by other marshmallow-flavored vodka. Well,
give
comes
me an
to
example
mind.
Of a classic cocktail.
A Manhattan.
Okay.
A Negroni, you know, beautiful things that are not accessible to perhaps a less seasoned palate. Older people like mm-hmm. less sweet drinks, mm-hmm. more mature mm-hmm. palates, I believe, is the way some bartenders choose to put it. So we are kind of on the cutting, or we are starting to get to a place where bartenders feel free to use produce in their drinks and use different syrups and use creative things. They still tend to the sweet to make them accessible to drinkers who are learning to drink. I'm excited for when we get beyond that and start using, you know, Cardinal gin in like just gin drinks.
I think that's coming. I really do.
And bartenders say it is.
Well, yeah. There are places that you can get really great drinks in Oconee. You can get it at Seoul Gastro Lounge.
Mark Jacksina is things. Opening a new place in the old Vinny's location on South Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. Well, the five open church people are
in. South End, and it's going to open, he thinks, in mid-September, and they've got a great big craft cocktail list there.
Okay.
And he's
That's
really
Nan
excited
and
about
Byron's.
It.
And you wrote an article, Tricia, about this, in which you also pointed out that in addition to alcoholic products, creative bartenders are making changes at the primary level. Homemade tinctures and bitters are essential to the baseline.
What a frightening
of
word that is, Tricia.
Tincture is something you put on a cut, isn't it? Like tincture of mercurochrome.
But you know, you have
what
to think
great
about
cocktail.
You have to think about the way that we started out drinking these cocktails had to do with like a gin and tonic, which is a classic drink.
Yeah.
But tonic was actually made from this bark, which comes from a tree.
Quinine.
It's a tree in Peru, but it keeps off mosquitoes because that's what the British would drink in the hot regions to keep away from getting malaria. So that's the reason why some of these drinks came about. But now we use this tonic, which is, you know, processed and mm-hmm. doesn't have anything to do with quinine or
mosquitoes.
So, but yeah, so now you have people who are going back to the basics and making these drinks the way that they had originally been made, which is really exciting.
And between that and the rise of our becoming kind of a microbrewery town, what's going on
here? Isn't that cool?
We're just drinking a lot. What's going on?
We've been drinking.
What's up with that?
People are getting beyond and I don't say this critically, but Budweiser and mainstream beers that don't have much taste at all, mm-hmm. People are finding and getting excited about things that have more taste, that have more depth, that have more – they're getting used to it. And I think the support of locally owned businesses in general, I mean much less farm to fork, but thinking about supporting your area folks and trying stuff, it's really exciting. Plus we've got a younger – audience that's used to this, that's coming in and saying, I want craft beers. I want stuff made here. I want it to taste different from things I can get everywhere else.
Will that translate to things like rum, the rum that's being made in Belmont? People will buy that because it's locally made?
Well, you hope so.
And
I think that it's priced very competitively, too. I think that they're really smart the way that they have it priced because it's not so much of a big jump to buy. It's being priced at the ABC store at $19.95, uh-huh. which is not bad for a bottle.
Have you tasted it?
Oh, yeah.
And?
Oh, I tasted it. And also, but more importantly, they have a new aged rum that's coming out in September called the Queen Charlotte.
How old could it be?
Well, it's not.
It just opened.
Well, that's part of it. The distilleries don't do aged.
And
that's the thing. You have to wait for the whiskeys to come because those have to be aged.
Right.
And,
so we're not getting things that need to be aged. We are getting gin. We're getting things like that. But I think some people will buy it locally. I talked to the ABC board when I did a story, and they said what happens is generally people will try it in a bar because they don't want to go drop $30 on a fifth of gin that they don't know. So they'll try it in a bar. So you'll see the upscale bars noting what brands they're using, and then if people like it, they'll go buy it in the ABC store.
Well, we've become appropriately intoxicated. We must soak this up with some food, and we'll get into food and dining out and restaurants and what's new and what's good and what's not so good when we come back in a moment with Heidi Bellotto, Tricia Childress, and Helen Schwab, our three restaurant critics. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Parsec Financial, wealth management based on active listening and diligent research. Details at parsecfinancial.com or by phone 704-334-0894. You know that UNC Charlotte is the only American university with permission to conduct archaeological digs in the Holy Land, in Jerusalem. And they have been making the best of that situation for years. We've talked to Dr. James Tabor about his digs over there. And now, 22 UNC Charlotte students have returned to this country after having participated in a restricted site excavation, only a few hundred yards from the room where the Last Supper was alleged to have taken place. And they've come back, they say, with some big news, which they will share with us tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, hundreds of fast food workers in cities around the country are walking off the job to push for a higher pay, debate over what constitutes a living wage.
Join that conversation on the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about food, restaurants, dining out, as we do every once in a while on this program with Helen Schwab, who's the restaurant critic for the Charlotte Observer, Tricia Childress, restaurant critic for Creative Loafing Charlotte and an associate professor at Johnson & Wales University, and Heidi Bellotto, the restaurant wine food writer for Charlotte Living, Charlotte Living Online, Charlotte Parent Magazine, and a host of other things that we don't have time to go into.
You need a longer title, man.
I'm a freelancer.
Short shrift here.
Yeah, you got to move on from the Charlotte.
I know, right?
Like everyone else.
We are doing a fine job with wonderful resources. Thank you very much.
I know, I'm playing with you. So things are, you tell me, Helen, that things are opening back up, that openings are heating back up.
Yeah, right? You've got the first, well, I shouldn't say first, the first French restaurant to open in a really long time is coming from the guys who did the Liberty, and Tom Condren from, people might remember him from Harper's Group upstream in Mimosa. That's really exciting. That's going into Myers Park.
Now, talk about those two people doing a French restaurant, because this is going to be upscale French, not unlike Marais, which used to be on...
Yeah, he GM'd there.
Matt, he was the GM.
Matthew Parra, who is the partner with Tom Condren in the Liberty, was GM there for a while. And they've got all sorts of experience. I mean, Tom Condren, the chef, has cooked French at not too shabby a few
right
places.
Right? Yeah, it's really right up their
he's
alley.
He's done some good stuff.
People know about their burgers and because that's what the Liberty, this gastro pub kind of idea. But they did that at a time when a French restaurant wouldn't have worked.
Because of the recession?
Yes.
Okay.
So they were very smart to scale back, do really good gastropub food, and now that the city's growing, the economy's gotten a little bit better, they're moving into something a little bit more.
It'll be interesting to see if
I think it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
And since you just quoted off the air the lyrics to a song from Oliver, you will know then that Lumière, which is the name of this restaurant, is a character in Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
He did not name it for that character.
They didn't?
No.
How do you know? The maitre d' is going to have candles.
So they both have young children. I think they might have.
No. I'm betting against it.
So this is going to open when?
I think he's looking at September, end
October.
Of September or something like
Where?
That. Yeah. It's in the old Einstein Bagels in Myers Park. Near the Harris Theater.
Well, yeah, but isn't that a brand new Einstein Bagel? Didn't they just open that like a year ago?
It was.
I see.
That did not
Things
go. You know what?
In.
You need parking there, and you need parking. I'm sorry. So this is going to be tiny, so the parking is not going to be the problem. Plus, you couldn't turn in there in the morning. You could only turn in there from one way, so that just was not a very propitious spot for Einstein Bagel. Then you got Nan and Byron's, as Heidi has mentioned, from the Five Church people. Mark Jackson actually is coming from Halcyon to work with Jamie Lynch, who he, a long time ago. And there is an awesome picture on his Twitter feed, if you haven't seen it, that's the Five Church people do some really hilarious and great PR photos and stuff. So there's a hilarious picture of Jamie Lynch and Mark Jackson. I recommend you check it out on Twitter. I'll post it on my blog, too, because it's just really funny. And then you've got Bruce Moffat opening the first thing that he's done in 8 years called Villa Rustica, which is also going to Myers Park. These people are going to be rolling in it, and that's Italian, so really excited about that. It's not going to be fine dining upscale Italian. It's going to be more accessible. Yeah.
Hence the name Rustica, right?
Exactly.
Where will that be?
That's in that space that was
Bogies, Saucy Crepe, in the Villa Square building.
The Villa,
yeah, it's going to be great.
What's the long name of that? I can never think of that house's name. Anyway, beautiful, beautiful space.
So it's near the Manor Theater. It's near the Manor.
Ish, yeah.
Ish. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and there may be some. I just got a note from him that said the name of it's going to be CB Italia.
Oh, good. He changed it.
So I think the name might
CB like CIBI, not like no, Chibi.
Like
okay.
The letter
Remember
C,
Chibi
the letter
from
B.
A Thousand Years Ago?
Oh, yeah. Okay. The letter C, the letter B, like initials, Italia.
Yeah, okay.
And opening in late October or November is what they think now.
Okay. People change their names.
We're going to keep track of the restaurants that you're talking about, and we will be posting them on our restaurant blog, or our food blog, WFAEats.org. I need to
it's
go
so
there
cute.
More.
I like
it
how
is
you
cute.
Hit
it. Is
I
cute.
Like it.
I like that.
Well, because you have to stand out from E.
I guess.
It's radio. It's not newspapers. We can't spell it out. And you said that there are so many new restaurants, Tricia, that are opening that it's hard for you, and maybe you all have this problem as food critics, to go back and enjoy your favorite restaurants because you're always having to go to new places. What a hardship.
I know. It is a hardship.
Life is so awful for us. We are just now.
Are you all experiencing that?
I want you to go back. You know, it's what you want to do. So you go eat at a new place, and then that's why restaurants stay in business, is because people keep going back to their old favorites. Right. Uh-huh. You just keep going to all the new places.
Particularly in Charlotte.
You need to support your old favorites. So I think, yeah. I mean, I do that. We all do.
Yeah. What's your favorite old favorite? Let's go around the table. Tricia?
Well, right now I'm really thinking about Mr. Lee's banh mi sandwich for lunch. So,
right. Can we get there in time? Let's do it.
I've never heard of that.
Great little place.
There's a little place. It's up in the Asian Corner Mall.
Okay.
North Tryon. I mean, the parking lot there looks like it has like an earthquake happened or something. It's kind of very – it's got a lot of craters, not potholes. They are craters. And so you have to kind of like weave your way around it.
A great sandwich and a front end alignment.
I mean, that's the whole thing.
Yes.
But the sandwiches are so good, you're willing to risk it.
Kind of adds to the charm of getting there. It's the adventure.
It's the adventure. But once you get in there, he's got all these great banh mi sandwiches.
It's on the inside.
It's
so you have to park and
mall.
Go into the mall.
Right.
People look for it on the outside and say, oh, I couldn't find it. No, you got to park and go inside.
Right. You have to go
again,
inside.
Another adventure.
It is. It's an adventure. So that's
There's a great dim sum place
having
there,
for
too.
Lunch.
Okay. What about your favorite old
You
favorite?
Know, I went last night to the Kebab House, where I had not been in a long time, and it was tremendous.
And where is that?
Iranian food on Independence Boulevard. So you want to talk about, you know, driving past parking lots that are empty and cratered. And it was just lovely. Hmm. Really beautiful Persian food. My daughter
Where on Independence? Because that goes from here to the beach.
6432 East Independence Boulevard.
6432. Mm-hmm. So that's beyond?
Like below Conference out towards Monroe.
I'm directionally impaired, so I would be happy
it's
to
out
send
there.
You notes.
No, it's out there beyond out there. Where that's the old
baked
Circuit
chicken
City used
cherry
to be.
Dish.
There. Well, it's walnut and pomegranate. It's fessenjin, and it's just fabulous. Great service. It's really dressed up. Mm-hmm. It has a hookah lounge now. So fun. My oldest daughter spent a semester in Turkey, so this is the closest. And there's also a little Turkish place, but they don't have the breadth of stuff in Charlotte. But this was lovely. So much fun. And I think it is hard to get back to places that we haven't been back to in a long time. But I think Heidi is exactly right when she says, you know, when places close, it is 9 times out of 10 when people call me and say, that was my favorite place. And when was the last time you were there? can't believe it closed. So you do need to support places. Yeah. If I didn't do this job, I'd have 5 places that I frequented regularly. I say this every time, but it's so important. Go to the places you like or they will be gone.
What about you?
My favorite place has got to be Bonterra. Bonterra's been in Charlotte a long time. They are recently kind of reinventing themselves. They've got a new bar bite menu and redoing their website, redoing their interiors and stuff.
You know somebody who sings
course,
there, don't you?
Well, it's where I met my husband. So he doesn't sing there anymore. He did perform there for a while. But we met there, and I just wrote a big article about him on Charlotte Living Online. But it's
so when he meets the woman that he marries, he quits the job that he has. Is that right? Is that how it works?
Know,
he doesn't
no,
sing
not
there
exactly.
Anymore.
Well, my husband performs Tom Bellotto, musician and singer, performs a lot of places around town. Yes, so Bonterra is one of them. But it's a great restaurant. It's an old church. We were talking about it with our audience members here before we started. An old church in Dilworth, and it's going to be the home of the new very exciting competition dining series that is going to be happening in Charlotte in September and October.
What did he decide to call it?
Fire in the City.
Is
it a television series?
No.
Oh.
It's a very well done. Dining competition between local chefs and Jimmy Crippens, who originally had Crippens Restaurant and Bed and Breakfast in Blowing Rock, mm-hmm. started it there in the off season to get people in his restaurant. And that competition was called Fire in the on the Rock. And then he moved to Wilmington and did Fire on the Dock and Fire in the Triad. And so this year we have Fire in the City. I'm going to be their official blogger. We're going to have a link, actually, I think, on WFAE Eats. And
.org.
It's .org. And it'll be on my blog, HeidiBellottoFood.com. And
Tricia will be on your blog, and would you like to give an address?
We can link to you guys, too. But what it is all these chefs, they get asked, they apply, they get asked to compete. That does not cost them anything. You come to a dinner there, you get it's like Iron Chef, six different dishes. It's all around a secret ingredient that gets revealed at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. At 7 o'clock is the dinner. It is superb food. Everybody who attends votes for the winner. So
but that,
everybody's
that goes
a judge.
To part of
that's
the
kind
vote,
of weighted.
But then there's judges. Yeah, it's weighted
judges.
Voting.
Yeah,
so you
I
don't
judged
get
one in the Blowing Rock competition and one in the Triad competition. It is tons of fun. Excellent food, reasonably priced, and a great way to support local chefs. And they center it all around North Carolina ingredients.
Okay.
Have a pantry.
Which is
it's really
they,
fun.
It's
you'll be hearing a lot more about it.
Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook comment. By the way, you mentioned we have a studio audience today.
Yes, we
Make
do.
Your presence known, ladies and gentlemen.
I like the chuckle in the middle. That was great.
That's because they thought there was going to be food here this morning. That's why
we're sorry.
That's right. But Jay Scott on Facebook writes, how about some love for the burbs? Great food from Jack Atchison Jr. at the Round Bistro, Shuggy Roo's food truck, and many more. The Charlotte restaurant scene is bigger than the city limits.
True.
So right, Jay Scott.
True. I'll tell you one of my favorite new places outside the city limits at Carowinds. Is American Cafe and Lounge.
This is interesting. I saw this yesterday from you, and this is I only have one question.
I know what it is.
It's in the Clarion Hotel.
Who would have thunk it?
Who would have gone into the Clarion Hotel
would have thunk
to,
it?
To
well,
eat?
The people who went into
it's
a brothel.
Well, okay, so here's the deal.
A former brothel. Their original place is in a former brothel. These are great people.
Jessica and Luca Annunziata are the couple of whom we speak. And I have to say they're good friends of mine and have become good friends of mine. Luca is an amazing chef. They did a multi-million dollar renovation of the Clarion Hotel, so that made it a little bit easier
they didn't
to walk
do it,
in
the hotel.
They didn't. The hotel people did. And came to Jessica and Luca and said, can you help us? And so it's the American Cafe and Lounge. It is the most nondescript dining room you will ever see. and they would agree with me on that. But it's Luca's food. It is superb food, and it's more casual stuff. Like they have a Sunday brunch that starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. In South Carolina, you can drink at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Really,
so the Bloody
and
Mary
sure.
bar starts at 10 o'clock.
So these are the and passionate people.
These
passionate
are the people that
bistro,
I'm passionate.
That's in Fort Mill. So that's the that's not the
high
style of food
restaurant.
Here, but
right,
that's
right, right.
Their
but everything there except the low fat ranch dressing, or low fat yeah low fat ranch dressing is made from scratch. At brunch, they have a chicken and waffles with a homemade queso dip. Luca makes homemade mozzarella, homemade meatballs, homemade marinara. I mean, all of that is on the menu at American Cafe. Great burgers. They use local product. It's an amazing place.
And the price point? Because
the price point
it costs you $40
very,
in gas to get there now from Charlotte.
Very reasonable.
But
no,
you can
it's
drink
much
at
quicker
10 o'clock.
To get to Carowinds. But you can drink at 10
You'll
in
forget.
One. Yeah. It's It's very reasonable, and I mean it's you know a bistro-y kind of price range, and it's great food, and you should really go. And can I just say that tomorrow at 4:30 in the afternoon they are having their grand opening.
Okay,
so people can
so
go by,
ahead of stuff.
Have some free apps, meet Luca, meet Chef Dan Steele, who's also the chef there, yes. and have some fun.
I used to know Dan Steele on the radio. He sounds like a radio.
This guy's from New Jersey, but I don't know.
Okay.
So if Jay Scott was talking about food trucks, should we insert here?
Yes.
The food rally? Truck rally?
Yes. Go ahead. Insert the food rally.
No, that's right that's ahead. Your gig. WFAE. Is it WFAE just
Eats.
Itself?
No, WFAEATS.
Going to be there at the food truck rally on Friday?
Oh, yeah. WFAE Eats will not be there, but WFAE will be there.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to be there, Mike?
I don't know. It's a combo food truck rally and gallery crawl in South End. Are these the same
Always
food
is.
Trucks that are there a lot?
Yeah, yeah. It's a regular thing
this
now.
This thing happens all the time.
So fun.
Event.
It is very fun.
It is.
So you go up to the truck, you order, and we have lots of cool food trucks now, mm-hmm. lest anyone not be aware of that. And that's a really good intro to it because it's very confined. It's a space that people are used to, mm-hmm. I mean, easy to get to. Sometimes the Music Factory, they've done occasionally at the Music Factory, and that's people are a little less familiar with that. That's well worth going to as well.
And they do them uptown, too.
Is this near mm-hmm. Fat Burritos? Is that where this is?
It is, yes, yeah. Camden. And so there's lots of parking there. You can park lots of different places and then just walk around South End in the galleries. And it's a really nice
thing. That it will be crowded. It's a crowded event. People really, it's really taken off. People, even in the rain, people get out there. But, you know, there's no cover, so you're right.
So to have dinner there, because you kind of go from truck to truck to truck, it's really fun. Like tapas.
It's a smorgasbord.
But it's not like tapas, really. Okay. I mean, you can make it like tapas, but mostly it is reasonably sizable things for $6, $7, $8. So you're not really buying like three things and getting two, you know, one meatball. Mm-hmm. It's more like you look around at the menu and decide what you're going to have. You would be less likely to order six things.
But if you go with some people, you can order
one thing and share it. But they're not little plates. So.
And we'll have information about that, obviously, on our
website.
On our website, exactly. You want to talk, Tricia, about a place that I have seen the sign for and passed by many times. It's called the Parktown Shopping Center, which is Park Road and Woodlawn. Mm-hmm. And it used to be an Asian noodle place, and now it's called Nom Nom.
Nom Nom Burger.
This is Asian fusion as a burger. Named.
Yeah, but what I really like about this is that it's a combination. It's being brought to us by Ronnie Yee and Tung, and these are two Charlottesians. Ronnie Yee's parents had that first Chinese restaurant on Independence Boulevard way back in the mm-hmm. end of the 60s and 70s. And so this is a second-generation person who's like decided that when he was growing up, that his story, I mean, it's such a great story because when he was growing up, he said that the only people who wanted the real Chinese food were the women in Charlotte, not the guys. The guys wanted the steak back in the 70s and how they had to kind of Americanize their Chinese menu. So now what they've done is they've taken an American institution, the burger, and kind of Asianized it. So it's kind of like
cowfish, but by the other side.
So what?
It's sort of like cowfish, but the other side of the equation.
Yeah, kind of.
Meaning they've Asianized the burger as opposed to having sushi and burgers.
It's never mind.
No, it's
would
like,
take too long to
it's,
explain.
It's really not like cowfish.
No, it's like beef patties, but it's made with different toppings so that you can get like a pad thai burger, or you can get all these different things. So it's kind of an interesting way to look at American food.
And?
So,
good? Liked
it? The burgers are really great. It's a very casual place. This is a very casual place.
Yeah. Parktown is that, we know where that is. It's at Park Road and Woodlawn.
Where Total Wine is.
This is where Total Wine is.
You have to go downstairs.
There is an elevator. Yeah. You can get down from the parking lot.
Speaking of elevators. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So, Tupelo Honey going into the former Pewter Rose, and they're going to put in an elevator.
Really?
It's the most exciting thing we've heard in a long time.
They have to, because that space was grandfathered in for so long when it was the Pewter Rose.
So Tupelo Honey out of Asheville, some creative food and fun. People
it's going to be
are
great.
So excited. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because the guy that bought it, the people that opened it in 2000, sold it to a guy who bought it in 2008, and since then he's opened five additional ones. And I have not been to any of the outposts, but they talk about them.
We'll come back and talk about Tupelo Honey, because people are excited about that. And if you don't know about the restaurant in Asheville, you may not know what people are excited about. So we'll come back and do that in just a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Blumenthal Performing Arts, presenting I Love Lucy live on stage. The antics of America's favorite foursome, Lucy, Ricky, Fred, and Ethel, August 7th through the 18th in the Knight Theater. Tickets at blumenthalarts.org. And Mr. Rogers Windows, a locally owned family business since 1986, offering renewal by Anderson replacement windows and entry door systems installed by trained craftsmen. Product details at Mr. Rogers Windows. .com. Well, Diane Rehm and her guests will talk about what constitutes a living wage coming up in about 20 minutes. There's a debate over this going on around the country, and they will join that debate, and you can too. By the way, you can join WFAE at Southend's Food Truck Rally and Gallery Crawl this Friday from 5 to 9, and you can register for that, the walking tour, at our food blog, WFAEats.org. We're coming right back.
When housing was hot, construction workers were too. Lots of jobs, not enough builders.
It was awesome. You know, $140,000 a year, shorts and a t-shirt with boots and a nice vehicle and perks and benefits. And, oh, yeah, it was a dream job.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Housing's back, but what about the construction business? That story next time on Marketplace from APM.
Marketplace this evening at 6:30 on WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. We're back and talking food with Tricia Childress, restaurant critic of Creative Loafing, Charlotte Associate Professor at Johnson Wales University, Helen Schwab, restaurant critic for The Observer, Heidi Bellotto, restaurant wine food writer for Charlotte. I'm just...
Par excellence.
I'm waiting for some other title to be fit in there. With Charlotte Living Magazine and Charlotte Living Online and Charlotte Parent Magazine. Now, Tupelo Honey, which came up just before the break, is a restaurant in Asheville that's opening up sometime this fall in the old Pewter Rose location on South Boulevard, and they're putting in an elevator because people who never went to Pewter Rose maybe didn't go because they couldn't walk up the stairs.
There were two flights of stairs.
Or worse, walk down the stairs.
It's an old mill building.
Yeah, and it's pretty steep, that staircase. So is the elevator going outside?
Actually, I haven't seen the plan, so I don't know. One assumes.
And talk about Tupelo Honey, because it's coming from Asheville. So are they going to duplicate what they do in Asheville?
The menu will be the same. They will work on locally sourcing some additional stuff.
And why should people be excited about this?
Well, because it is and this is interesting. I posted that I was going to be in here on my blog, the address of which I will not give. And some of the questions were, why can't we get restaurants like Asheville? So I would be interested in if...
Why can't we get restaurants like Charleston?
There you go. And I would love for answers.
We do have restaurants.
To answer that.
In fact,
but that's the classic rap, is that we don't. So here is Tupelo Honey coming, doing some creative food with lots of locally sourced items. So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay, Tricia, because you're the Dan Morrill of the group. Because I once said Charlotte tears down all of its historic buildings, and Dan Morrill, who is the architectural historian ex officio, or I don't know, ad hoc, gave me you know what for saying that, because he says it's simply not true. It's a misperception, and you're saying that it's a misperception that we don't have restaurants like Charleston here.
We've had really great restaurants I've lived here for 25 years, and we've had great restaurants here the whole time I've been here. A lot of them have not been supported, and they were lost. And for me, it's like, I think Bruce Moffitt and I were talking about this the other day, where he was talking about Charlotte almost has like the dome over it, like a spot on it, because all these other places get recognition. Charleston gets recognition, Raleigh gets recognition, Asheville gets recognition nationally. Mm-hmm. And we just don't seem to have that here. And I don't really understand why. We don't seem to be really proud of what we have here. We have a lot of great, talented chefs. We have a lot of great, talented places. We have great ethnic places to go.
Could it be that those cities that you mentioned are tourist cities?
Destinations. And that's
Raleigh?
A huge piece of this.
Raleigh's not tourist.
But Raleigh gets the whole government inflow.
I mean, a lot of them is that it's traffic
for other reasons. And so they're written about for other reasons, and the restaurants are mentioned in the course of writing about them for other reasons.
Exactly.
I think that's a huge piece of it. But I also think there is no mistaking the fact that we are not, and in my 25, 30 years, have never been as willing to be cutting edge and support that, mm-hmm. like Tricia says, than these other places. We're just not. I mean, Chai Pani in Asheville, which is Indian street food, that's what it is. I'm trying to imagine that working, like downtown. It's hard to imagine that being supported downtown here.
Well, we have an audience here, and we have a person at our microphone, which we set up for the audience, and we're going to let that person have at it. Good luck getting into this conversation.
Thank you. This reminds me of a Robert Altman movie where everyone is talking at the same time.
That was exactly our goal. I am so thrilled.
I wanted to underscore the comment that was made earlier about restaurants outside of the city limits of Charlotte. And one of the things that I think I would characterize them as having a personality in which frequent visitors are welcomed back. One of the characteristics of a lot of the new Charlotte restaurants is the pretty women who do not remember you every time you return. And I want to mention two restaurants, one in Huntersville, Cafe 100 on Huntersville Holly Road. Mm-hmm. Absolutely spectacular food, mm-hmm. absolutely wonderful service, and they remember your name, what you like, and who you are. And the other is a newer restaurant in Waxhaw called Cafe Bliss. More Mediterranean and Lebanese oriented, but the same characteristic at both places. And I think that's one of the reasons people don't go back to restaurants in Charlotte is no one remembers that you were there the first, second, mm-hmm. third, fourth, and fifth time.
That
Thank
is an
customer service is
point.
Huge, and an we aren't strong.
No,
we are not strong on that at all. If you go other places, other cities, you do see how our training is not what it should be.
But so we have Johnson and Wales. Right. What's going on? We were told that when Johnson and Wales arrived, we would
yeah,
have
Tricia,
fabulous chefs, fabulous waiters, yada, yada, yada.
Yes.
Speak for
speak
the entire
for that
college.
Educational Error. Institution, Tricia. Yeah.
Okay, well, so, you know, Johnson and Wales opened in 2004. Uh-huh. And as I've said to people frequently, is that when you have students, it's a student. You wouldn't have an architectural student at UNCC designing your high-rise
right.
as a student.
Right.
So it takes years to do this, but the service industry in Charlotte does need to ramp it up. And I think that places where there are trained professionals, people who want to be in service, they want to be in service. I think that that makes a big deal.
A huge piece of that is tipping and how we tip here. Mm-hmm. I mean, the reality for someone trying to survive as a professional wait person in Charlotte is it's a challenging environment for that because in lots of places, the tipping is not what it should be. And so the training isn't what it should be because you're hiring people who aren't
But there are restaurants in Charlotte.
The, there are.
Very
there
well
are.
Trained.
Don't,
yes,
absolutely. There are some good staff.
A great
but
job.
By and large, I think he's exactly right that the issue is you need to recognize your customer base and make them feel welcome.
Let me recognize somebody else from our audience. Welcome.
Yes, my husband and I love to dine out. However, he needs gluten-free.
Ah.
It
no
is sauces. I mean, where do we go?
I have a daughter who just decided to be gluten-free and things. And it is more challenging than I knew. It is really challenging. She is going to school in Greensboro, and they are to the point where they will say, okay, so we do burgers that are done on the flat top that has never also toasted a roll. And my jaw just dropped and thought the degree of attention that requires, I can't even imagine us here.
That is great.
But you're finding more. You're definitely finding more. You're finding pizza. Is it
Pure Pizza does a gluten-free pizza.
Pure does it. But
Dolce does gluten-free pasta.
And I think it's a lot about the style of cuisine will lend itself more to where you are. Asian does so well, like Vietnamese, you can get rice noodles, but you got to be sure that there's no soy sauce in it. So, yeah, I mean, the gluten shows up in so many places, and it's much more about, I think, willingness to work with you. And so for people who have any sorts of food issues, I always suggest picking a couple restaurants and gauging how willing they are to work with you on being really attentive to this. Is this an intolerance or an actual... Okay, celiac. So that's much more challenging.
And you can find stuff. There's a little coffee shop on Central called Central Perk, and they have the best zucchini bread I've ever eaten, ever, including the one I make, which is pretty good. But it's gluten-free. It's a gluten-free zucchini bread, which you would never – I mean, it's delicious. It's worth going by there just to pick up a loaf of zucchini bread.
But I think you're right that you want whole menus, and you want to go and sit down and relax and not feel stressed about that. And it really is an issue here. Places will say, oh, yeah, we can do things gluten-free, or they'll have the GF now. But my daughter does not feel comfortable in that. She wants – if you have a separate gluten-free menu, she feels like, okay, you're probably paying enough attention. And I'm going to try to write about that, so I'm going to try to catch your name later.
I would suggest calling ahead, too. And the other place, Great Harvest, has, if you're just looking for stuff at home, also has a big gluten-free selection.
I think that okay. Stuff at home isn't hard anymore. You can go to Trader Joe's and Harris Teeter and buy stuff. You can yeah. find it all. They have little racks. It's really the restaurant experience. I think she's right.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
My wife and I live in the South Park area, and we tend to frequent a lot of the restaurants in South Park. A lot of them are chains.
They sure are.
McCormick and Schmick. I know.
You're right.
Brio's.
So that's your fault, right?
It probably is, but what's your take on these places? I mean, are they, you know, dare I say, the low end of the totem pole.
Chains versus independently owned restaurants, or do you mean those particular restaurants?
Those particular restaurants.
You know, South Park's a tough area to please, I think. So I've always been fascinated by the influx and outgoing of places there, what survives and what thrives and what doesn't. And it's...
But in that same area, you have Barrington.
They
have
Barrington.
Zebra.
I was just going to say, there are some locally owned places
there.
But
I think if you're talking mid-range, I mean, Charlotte's weak on mid-range to begin with. We do lots of low and lots of high, and it's harder in the middle. But I think it is challenging, and I think it's I at the end of the day think it's about predictability. I think people really like to know exactly what they're getting. People in that neighborhood, and
I think
they really
that
want
the,
it to be
a really good the restaurant real, in that area is Wolfgang Puck's restaurant at Phillips Place. It's very well done. It's delicious food. It's a mid price range.
Great chef.
Great chef who is a local chef, Scott, and does a great job, and it's a really. It's a very high-quality restaurant.
There. Tricia.
What you can't forget about South Park is that a lot of what goes in there, it's dictated by the real estate. Because the real estate will not allow a lot of locally owned places to go in, like a first-time
so
restaurant.
Because
it's expensive, but they want something that's tried and true. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of what you have there is just because of what the real estate people think is going to be working there. So
Another really good choice is Roosters, which is right across from South Park, locally owned by Jimmy Noble. It's a fabulous place. Sushi Guru is right there as well. Also very nice if you like sushi. Zebra, as Mike mentioned, is across the street. And they are doing some things to kind of reinvent themselves. They have live music on Wednesday night.
Who would be doing that?
Fridays. But you want to go on a Wednesday. And they do a wine tasting menu. Like for $12, you can get appetizers and a wine tasting and live music.
We're going to start charging commercials.
I know. I'm sorry.
Are definitely pockets of greatness over there.
Yeah,
but I think it is hard, and I do always encourage people to support independently owned because people who care about food, lots of people who don't care about food will go to everywhere. If you care about the local scene, the more you patronize those independently owned. And I think Roosters, even though he has a couple other places, I mean, he is very committed to this area.
Absolutely.
And it really matters.
Now, you just returned, Tricia, from Peru.
Yes.
And I know you spent some time living in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And you wanted to talk about how we have this misperception in Charlotte of not having good ethnic restaurants. And since you have this bipolar disorder from Peru to Egypt, let's talk about that.
Well, Peruvian food is probably one of the most popular foods nationally in the United States. It's when you go to the cities there, it's the Peruvian restaurants that are really making the mark, primarily because Peru has produce that doesn't exist anyplace else.
It's really weird.
It's a remarkable place.
Really weird produce. It's so much fun.
And you can't get it here. So
There's 3,000 types of potatoes. Now, some things you can't. Some things are these fragile little berries. You can't bring them in. You just can't export them. But part of what it is about Peru is that Peruvian food, we have a place in Pineville called Machu Picchu. And the owner there is so intent on exposing Charlatans to his food. And we have other places that have had Peruvian food here, too. Part of the problem in Charlotte is that people say, oh, it's Latin food. It's Mexican food.
Spicy.
It's where are the burritos? And, you know, it's all different. It's all different. And we have this certain kind of – we have certain ethnic groups that have come to Charlotte. And we have great pupusas, which are so popular in other cities. And it's like people here just don't grab them. Do you guys eat pupusas?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because they're really great.
Sure.
Central Avenue, El Salvadorian restaurants, Honduran restaurants, and they're excellent.
I am doing a big international food roundup that's coming out in the next, I'm not sure when, and it's going to be awesome because there's going to be a signature dish, the country, where you can find it. We're going to map it out. It's going to be pretty cool. One place that I wanted to mention because it's outside the city limits is Polish food at a place called A Taste of Europe. So much fun. Best pierogies. My husband's from Cleveland, so I know from pierogies. And these are some beautiful pierogies. I'm directionally impaired. It's out real far. Oh no, it's out Monroe Road because it's near the Pipiro, the Korean place. And I had to make two trips, and I was annoyed because I thought I should have done this both the first time. So A Taste of Europe, I'm sure you can find it.
Okay. Very quickly, you were at a restaurant last night for the first
time. Yes, Kebabja. Kebabja.
It's that's unfortunate.
It's owned by a good friend. Yasir Sadak, who used to long ago be with Hemingway's, used to be with Primo. He's now opened his own restaurant. It is Lebanese food. It is delicious. I was thrilled to walk in there and find Yasir there. And my very favorite thing was called ful mudamas, which is a mix of chickpeas and broad beans, and you get it with this great bread. Wonderful lamb dishes, excellent place to go.
It's an Egyptian dish.
Yeah, it's very good.
Have you been there yet?
I haven't.
It's over by the Costco in Matthews.
And I know that Middle Eastern food is kind of one of your areas of expertise because you have, a Lebanese mother-in-law?
Yes.
And a husband who's Lebanese.
Yes. Do you have a favorite place that that you like to go for that food here, aside from home?
My house.
Shame on you for giving the answer that
everyone
gives
invited.
Me.
We'll all be there at 5, maybe 5:30. I'm a little late usually, as you noticed.
Yes,
let's see here. Very quickly, you have another announcement about the Passion 8.
I have a very exciting announcement. We talk about all these new restaurants opening and new places opening. Passion 8 is moving to Elizabeth. They're opening a restaurant in Elizabeth right up the street from Presbyterian Hospital in January. And I'm very happy to make that announcement.
So they're moving out of the other place or they're opening a second one?
They're opening a second one and we'll see what happens with the old place. But they're very excited to be moving up into the Elizabeth area.
I bet they are.
So it'll give them more room, more space.
Sorry about the city limits.
It's a great – you can go there from now till January. It's a great place. And Luca and Jessica Annunziata and okay. It's going to be fabulous.
Patrick on Twitter writes, speaking of Elizabeth, getting hungry for one of my favorite new restaurants, Viva La Chicken on
Viva
Elizabeth.
Chicken.
I just heard great things about this place.
That's on Elizabeth Avenue, right near the hospital, right?
Yeah, it's where Anderson's used to be.
Yeah, it's good.
And they've done a nice little job there. Mm-hmm. It's some people who've been in the restaurant business a while in Charlotte.
And Thomas emails, Good Bottle Company on South Boulevard. It's a great place to try many of the different beers in the area without buying a six-pack. I enjoy Red Oak out of Greensboro and really like the direction of craft beers coming to Charlotte. I want to remind people that the restaurants, what few we've talked about, will be on our website here at WFAE.org. And maybe we can pull some ideas.
We can list some more. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll list some more that didn't get on the air.
There's several.
From Heidi Bellotto, Tricia Childress, and Helen Schwab. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having me.
Always a great
time. Thanks to our audience for being here.
Yeah, you can come back
tomorrow.
Thank you,
guys.